Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 85 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined as always by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good.
How was your weekend?
It was a good, quiet weekend. Didn't do much. Just sat around, read some comics, and Outlaw Nation trade paperback, an anthology of westerns. That was fun.
Now, who's that by?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, there's like a Filakoff story, and like they're all like six to eight page stories. So, a bunch of people. This is like the third volume, so it's kind of cool. I like it.
Who put that out?
Image.
Ah, okay. Sometimes things like that slip through my purview on Image. There was that Sunset graphic novel, that crime thing by Christos Gage that came out a few months back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how did I miss this? And I had to go like digging around for it and get it like in a second print or something.
Yeah, it's that way sometimes. Image is crazy. You know, they don't put out a lot of stuff, do they?
Oh, well, if there was not a better segue for the news, I do not know what is. A lot of the podcasts that delve into comics were lamenting today because they put their episodes usually between Saturday and Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we get to have the drop on all the crazy new books that Image announced at the Image Expo out in San Francisco.
Yes.
And there is a ton of them from awesome creators.
Yes, there are.
And also in the news is more books that DC is going to be giving us come October, whether it be more Green Lantern books, whether it be continuation of the Forever Evil stuff, whether it be six new Vertigo books. What?
Oh, boy.
And Todd, you know better than anyone, maybe outside of my own, the voices in my head and my wife, that there's nothing I love more than change.
Oh, you adjust well. Let's put it that way.
Yes. So there was some pretty substantial changes to the Comixology interface, and we'll get into those too because I got some issues.
Okay.
I got something for them.
Comic issues?
Well, just the interface on Comixology.
Gotcha. I'm just trying to do a terrible pun, but go ahead.
Ah, there you go. They're all terrible. Every pun is terrible. I can't think of a good pun.
I can, and I think of them often.
I know. Well, you think of puns often. Whether or not they're good or not is another story.
To each his own. Taste is, you know, varies.
So, also, besides news and, of course, digital stuff to be talking about, there were a ton of books that came out this past week.
A deluge of books.
And looking forward to July, somehow July is another... It's a five Wednesday month, but somehow they managed to cram in, like... way more books in 5 weeks than June did in, you know, like, they're bigger weeks. Like, there's no small week in July for me.
That's why I don't like to look ahead like you do. That way I don't see it coming.
No, see, I like to plan. I'm a planner.
You are a planner. I fly by the seat of my pants.
So, there's a lot of books to talk about from last week. There's a lot of books that both of us read. And there's a lot of books that I'm going to need to get your opinion on.
Okay.
Your feelings on.
Mm.
Yes. Of course, we also have what we're most looking forward to coming out this week, which is another good, big week. And in honor of 4th of July, which is this week, probably Thursday as you're listening to this, your favorite patriotic hero?
Some interesting patriotic answers.
Yes, and I'm surprised by who won.
Okay.
I'm not surprised that they were mentioned, but I was surprised that they won.
Okay, wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so let's get into the news. We're going to push the Image stuff toward the back, talk about the DC stuff that's been mentioned. There's talk that there, come October, there's going to be another Green Lantern monthly book. I think we have the four main books. We have the Larfleeze book, and now we're going to have a Sinestro ongoing.
Sinestro Core.
Right, Sinestro. Now, that's where my concern comes in.
That's what I was going to ask you what you thought. But go
ahead. Yes. Now, there's been no creative team announced for it yet. Who knows who it could be? It's, you know, who knows what DC is up to these days with these books and creative teams and so forth. But I'm not really sure if I'm going to be on board for a Sinestro Core book without Sinestro. And then I'm not really sure if I'm going to be on board for a Sinestro book since I think he got a good, like, kind of status quo update at the end of Green Lantern 21.
I know what you're talking about, because
yeah,
I actually...
Just in case nobody's read it yet. You know, I know the new creative teams and things are already moving forward. But if you haven't read it, I don't want to be the one to spoil it for you.
Right. And I thought that was a good ending, too. But I thought it was kind of, like, hard to maybe wedge in Sinestro from here on out. We're not sure. And I'm the same way. But depending on even if it's not Sinestro, if it was a good creative team, I'd have to give it a try. So yeah. I don't know yet. I have, and like you said, mention a creative team. That don't mean it'll be the creative team when it comes out. So.
No, goodness no. So yeah, it's just like, I would like a Sinestro solo book. Mm-hmm. Kind of maybe like a Sinestro Year One sort of thing with the New 52, even though the Green Lantern universe was relatively unchanged by all the New 52 nonsense. A Sinestro Corps book with Sinestro back in it, but you better have a good explanation of why he's back.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it'd be the best way to explain it. And it better have a really good creative team.
Sales. The answer is sales.
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
what they want.
It was only a matter of time before the number of Green Lantern books matched that of the number of Batman tie-in books.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, you go to your comic shop, and now it's the Batman, Green Lantern, Avengers, X-Men store.
Oh, boy. Well, that's okay. You know, when we were getting things together here, and Todd mentioned one of the books, and we'll get into that when we talk about the books that we read from last week, there was a time where you can just say, oh, we're going to talk about Uncanny. And you meant Uncanny X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's minimally four books that very well could be Uncanny.
Right. There's, you know, titles are starting to, they're starting to run out of names for books. There's so many.
Oh, boy. I don't want to sound all down and dour about things, because a lot of good things, but it's like, hey, there's a lot of comic books out. And luckily for them, they're all good.
Yes.
So one of the other news bits was everyone was lamenting, especially going all the way back. You remember, Todd, when we went to the Philly Con, and it was right around Final Crisis-y time. And DiDio was on the panel. I think Jeff Johns was on the panel, and there was the whole talk of how they were going to attempt to kill Nightwing in Infinite Crisis, and they end up killing Superboy instead.
For legal reasons.
Right, for legal reasons. And there's been much talk that with this upcoming Forever Evil series that Nightwing was going to get killed. And everyone's like, well, DiDio finally gets his wish. He gets to kill off Nightwing. He's been wishing for it for years and blah, blah, blah. And people at DC had to come out and say, no, we're not killing Nightwing, but we're just going to do horrible, horrible things to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's worse. Just as long as they keep, as long as Kyle Higgins stays on the book, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're up to. Makes me interested to see, but like immediately people went, oh my God, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. I'm like, oh, that's so far away. We'll see. I'm interested, like you said, I'm a big Kyle Higgins fan, so where Nightwing goes, I go. You know, I loved him on Deathstroke and now on Nightwing. So I'm in for the while for now.
Right, he's going to be doing the new Batman Beyond Digital Firsts book. I think starts getting collected in print in August. It's him and Christos Gage as the writers, and that's a pretty good creative team.
That's a dynamic duo, if you will.
It certainly is. So more books coming from DC, starting in October, going all the way up into the end of the year. A lot of people were naysaying with Karen Berger leaving DC, specifically leaving Vertigo, that Vertigo was going to be done. And, you know, sales on Vertigo stuff was down a little bit until the Wake came around and maybe gave it a little bit of a shot in the arm, if you will. But just yesterday, I think it was a USA Today article, maybe. That's where DC likes to... They get a lot of good scoops, USA Today. I don't know who they know or how they know or what they know.
Didio's brother's the editor, probably, or something like that.
Maybe. So we have the official name now of the Sandman book. It's called Sandman Overture.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the announcement of a total of six books from various creative teams. One called Hinterkind by Ian Eddington, who I have no idea who that is. The Discipline by Peter Milligan, who's always been a Vertigo stalwart.
I was just saying, yeah, you can't have a second push of Vertigo books without a Peter Milligan book. He was a staple of the old Vertigo world.
Dead Boy Detectives are getting a monthly series. Suiciders by Lee Brahimo. You would know his art from the Joker and Batman Noel original graphic novels. He's got a really interesting style. Another book called Coffin Hill. written by one of the many writers of the Ferrest spinoff, and then another anthology book called The Witching Hour, and of course Sandman. So it looks like Vertigo is back, and I was even reading The Wake from last week, and obviously it was all house ads, but you know, the push is on for Vertigo, and I say bring it on.
Me too. So it was actually funny because over the weekend I was sitting with an old friend and he hadn't read comics in a while. We were discussing Vertigo and I was like, oh yeah, the only thing they really have right now is, you know, the Sandman mini that's coming up. And like we were just talking about the heyday of Vertigo and how me and him, we used to pretty much get almost everything that they put out. Like we would try at least, and you had like a 70% success rate with Vertigo. So like I'm an old Vertigo hat and I love that, you know, they're talking about doing new stuff, and I'm actually pumped for it because Vertigo changed my view on comics a long, long time ago.
I'm in the same boat as you. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be checking out some of those things. Obviously the Sandman thing is a given, and you know, fortunately or unfortunately perhaps, mm-hmm. that's one I can definitely see myself possibly double dipping on.
Sandman?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. See me getting that one when it comes out in you know, in individual issues, and then of course if there's a nice fancy collection of those, I might have to get that as well.
I'm double dipping, definitely. I'm getting the issues because I have every Sandman issue ever done, and then when they absolute it, and they will absolute it, I will grab one of those because I have all the absolutes. It'll look nice on my shelf next to the couple of Sandman ones and the Death one.
So yeah, I gave all my single issues away. No, believe me, I'm all for, you know, sometimes I'll double or triple dip on something, but if I got three copies of something, I will most certainly move something to someone else so they can, you know, enjoy the book that I enjoy as well.
See, I like to let them enjoy the book and then give it back if it's something as precious to me as Sandman. I had Sandman several different ways. If it wasn't for most of them being beat up, like the trades and stuff, I gave those away just because they were beat up. But I can't give. I think I had it when they were doing. I was buying it when it was weekly too. Like it was like. Remember when they did the Sandman Presents?
Yeah.
And it was they were reprinting. I was still buying it. I was like, give Neil money, more money.
The just essential throw it Vertigos, you mean?
That's what it was.
Yes.
I was buying those until they stopped them around the, I think, the 20s.
So I had you know, I had the single issues, and then I had two sets of the trades. One with the, I guess, the more well-known trade dress, I guess would be the best way that I could explain it, where it had, like, the kind of, like, the pastel-y, you know, neon almost color with the number on it.
Mm-hmm. That was the second one.
Okay. And then I had a mixed lot, where it was just a bunch of various, you know, printings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that I, like, lent out to people. And I'm like, if it never comes back, it never comes back.
Didn't that feel good when you have that much, you know, that many of a thing that you can, yes, just be like, pah, be gone from my sight?
And I have most of the omnibuses. I think I'm only missing one or two.
The omnibuses?
Yes.
Okay, because there's the absolutes, and then...
The absolutes.
Okay, because there is an omnibus, which they almost got me to bite on, which is another version that they put it out, where it's two books, two tomes, and one is the first half of Sandman, and the second one is the second half. And then they have the Sandman annotated, which is in black and white, and Neil Gaiman gives, like, his notes and stuff on it, and I almost bit on that, too.
Yeah, no, see, that's where I draw the line.
I didn't, though, because I'm not that crazy. But if I could find them cheap, I would do it.
That's something to get for Todd for Christmas.
Oh.
Not for me, for our listeners.
But I love the gifts that you give me. They're usually given with, like, love and heart. Like, the macaroni picture of me and you at the con. That was a good one.
I drew the stink lines and everything.
Stink lines and everything, yes.
Right. So just moving on with the news, like I said, I want to save the Image stuff for last because there's so much of it. I want to talk about the changes that were done to Comixology.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with the good. The good is that they're selling books in bundles now at a discounted rate.
Okay.
Where it's a whole bunch of different things, and they're grabbing, like, if there's a storyline, they're getting everything that goes into the storyline. That's just not, like, just as an example, like X-Men Schism from a couple years ago. it's not just the five issues of X-Men Schism. It's the two issues of Generation Hope. It's the X-Men Regenesis issue. It's the prelude to Schism issues. And it ends up being something like 10 issues altogether, which ends up being like half price if you were to buy them all individually.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a bunch of stuff like that. There's a bunch of the Marvel Masterworks that are available, as a bundle at a lower price. There's tons and tons of stuff that they have there. A lot of the independent publishers are doing, like, all their number ones as a low-end bundle. I think Valiant has, like, the craziest one, where it's the first four issues of all of their new series for, like, $30. And it's, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different new series. The first four issues for, like, $30. So it's really good deals that they have there. So I like that. I also like the fact that they have a subscription thing now. So say there's a book that you get digitally, or there's a book that you just get and its schedule is haphazard. It comes out when it wants to come out. And say you're the type of person who doesn't know when that book comes out, and you're a digital type person. You just go and you subscribe to it, and what they'll do is a week before, I think like the Friday before it comes out, they're going to send you an email that says, hey, this book that you subscribe to is coming out this Wednesday. If you still want it, let us know. Now, obviously, that's going to cause problems when all the Forever Evil and Villains Month books come out and how that's going to... Like, I can't imagine what's going to go on behind the scenes at Comixology to do that. I don't know if they're going to, like, pre-sale them or whatever they're going to do. But I like that idea of subscribing to a book and then letting you know in advance before they charge you. And then if for some reason it's an issue you don't want for some reason, you can go ahead, they give you ample time to let you know that, you know, it's gonna charge your account. It's gonna charge your account on Wednesday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for a subscription service, but what I don't like is, I like the old interface in the way that I could view my books, and there was a way that you can move your books into, like, what was called an archive.
Okay.
And the archive is gone. The archive doesn't exist anymore. The only way that you can view your books is by going through your library and clicking A and B and C and D and done. But everything's in there. Like, when you click on S, every S book that you have is there, even stuff that you've already read and you've previously moved to your archive. And it's not that bad, but I don't like that little tiny bit of a change. And it's enough to just, like, stick in my craw.
Ah. See, like I said, I don't buy stuff that way, so I don't know, and I don't know how it is. But like you said, you don't like any change at all whatsoever. But right. It's not that bad, though, you're saying, right?
No, that's the one thing that I point at that I don't like, just the way that they organize the stuff after the fact. Everything else, though, is really well done. Like I said, the subscription stuff, there's an explanation of how the subscriptions work. You know, everything still pretty much looks the same. The way that you view the comics is still the same. But the availability to put bundles together at a low price and the ability to subscribe to stuff, I really like that.
So you never know, though. Maybe just because this is the alpha version of the new run with everything, maybe they'll bring back the archive and add some cool stuff, you know?
Yeah,
so
maybe.
Hopefully they'll do that.
I got my fingers crossed.
Yep. Don't, because you have to type up notes and stuff. And that'll mess you up.
All right, so... As we wrap things up here with the news, of course, there's the news from the Image Expo out in San Francisco. A ton of new books were announced, and I am going to go ahead and run through some of the more notable ones, and also some other information of how Image is going to do their digital stuff, which is really cool as well. Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting have a new book. The title of it is Velvet. What it's about really doesn't matter because it's Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting on a book.
I was kind of thinking the same thing when I read it.
Mm-hmm. J. Michael Straczynski has two new books, and all of his old stuff is all coming over to Image as well. Matt Fraction has another new book called Odyssey, and it's spelled ODY-C, and that goes along with his two other books that he's doing at Image already. And also the two books that he does for Marvel. So he is a very busy man.
Yes.
Rick Remender has two books that he's doing at Image. One is called Black Science. The other one is called Deadly Class. The latter of those has art by Wes Craig, who is a personal favorite artist of mine. He's the the Kang page that I have from Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the artist on that.
Yeah, I remember him on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. And one of the other really big ones that was announced was Jason Aaron and Jason Latour are going to be doing a book for Image called Southern Bastards. There's a write-up about what it is, and again, you know, what they talk about. And I'll tell you what the little blurb that they have for it is. It says, filling the big cursing-sized hole in my heart. Jason Aaron's elevator pitch for this book is Dukes of Hazzard times the Coen brothers, or the Untouchables versus Boss Hog plus barbecue, and the villain of it is a high school football coach.
Varsity Blues.
Yes. So, Jason Aaron has been talking about this new creator-owned series that he's been doing since the end of Scalped, you know, at least 6 or 7 months ago. So I'm very excited for this. I'm excited for the new Brubaker book. Some of these have dates announced. I know the Brubaker book's coming out in October. One of the Rick Remender books is coming out in October as well. Some of the other stuff just doesn't have dates announced. Oh, and one of the other two things that was announced that come October, Walking Dead is going to be bi-weekly.
Yes.
They're going through a big storyline. I guess this is what everything's been building to over the last couple months here. Things have been a little slow, if you will, in the world of Walking Dead, but it's gonna hit the ground running come October with 2 issues a month for at least 6 to 7 months.
Yes, which will be around the actual 10-year anniversary of the book. Close to, because 120 would be 10 years. I know they had some, you know, where they double-shipped and stuff like that, but, you know, we're close.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of other stuff that goes along with the 10-year anniversary of Walking Dead that's coming up, like reprints of issue 1 in color and all this other stuff. But the main thing for me is the main book. That's really all that matters.
Yeah. And wasn't there something about Mark Millar doing a book?
Oh, that's right. He has the one book that he's doing right now, The Jupiter's Legacy. He has another one called MPH.
Right, which is the one that actually interests me. Like, I know, like, not just because of Millar, but what they were talking about is that this, they might want to have the start of the shared superhero universe, mm-hmm. for Image, which I always thought, you know, like, his Image was cool. It was like, you know, your own thing, and they crossed over where and when they wanted to. You know, you didn't have to be beholden to anything. But I think it's cool that Image can have all that, and a company, their secondary market is going to be the shared superhero line. You know what I mean? It's kind of just a bizarre concept to me, but really cool.
It's interesting how that's going to fit into everything, because they've already tried to do that twice with a shared universe sort of thing. One with Image United, which is a miniseries that I don't think will ever end. And they do it with Invincible. Like, it started out like the Eric Larson universe, those characters, and then Powers dipped into that universe. And a lot of the other ancillary books, like your Tech Jackets and Super Patriots and Guarding at the Globe and all that other stuff. So those are all in their own little superhero universe. So that makes me wonder if the Invincible universe, as it was, gets tied into this Mark Millar universe, or if he's just going to tie in what he wants to tie in.
The way I take it, not that, you know, oh, I, you know, have an inside scoop on this, but I think the way they should go is that MPH is the first of the shared universe. Like, you have your Spawn, you have your, like you said, Savage Dragon, you have your Invincible, you have all that. But here we're starting from, you know, ground zero, and MPH is going to be the first book. And then from here on out, like, anybody who wants to come in, this will be the shared superhero universe. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like Earth Image, if you wanted to call it that. And I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, well, I'll be interesting to see how that one pans out. Duncan Fregato is on art, and I've always liked his art. It's always very odd and quirky, so that makes, mm-hmm. you know, he'll be an interesting fit for a superhero universe sort of book.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other things that I wanted to mention that Image has done, of course, you can buy their books digitally, whether it be through Comixology, iTunes, a variety of different ways, but they did a complete overhaul on their website, and you can now buy the books directly from their website, and you could buy them as DRM-free digital versions. Now, I had to look that up, because I'm very dumb when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Well, I'm glad one of us did, because I saw it, and I'm like, Leonard will tell me what this is, because he's the tech-savvy one of the two of us.
Oh, yes, yes. What that means is without digital rights management, the easiest way that I could explain it is instead of downloading where you can only watch it or view it on the app or in iTunes or whatever it is, you can essentially download it as a PDF if you so choose and take it anywhere you want.
Okay.
And you can't do that right now at Comixology. And that was the one thing that was kind of holding me back from getting into digital comics way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But I am into digital comics now, nowhere near as much as I am into physical comics. But Image doing this, selling the books directly and doing them DRM-free is a huge step. And I could see a lot of other publishers starting to do that as well, possibly to the event of Comixology having no choice but to make their stuff DRM-free. But that's going to be a long ways away.
The only thing about DRM-free, does that make it like super easy to pirate now?
Yes.
They're actually making it so you don't have to do any work to pirate it.
Essentially, yes.
Okay, I mean, I understand the like you said, the ease of it. It goes anywhere. You just it's on my computer, it's on my backup, it's on my iPhone, it's on wherever, and it's just the simple ease of transferring it from thing to thing. But I'm, you know, you're gonna have to find a way to keep it from, you know, being able to be transferred so easy. I guess, you know, that hurt music.
Mm-hmm. Well, well, that's the thing. It's funny you say that, because in a conversation with the publisher at Image, Eric Stevenson, and I'll read his exact quote. His stance on piracy is that piracy is bad for bad entertainment. There's a pretty strong correlation with things that suck not being really greatly pirated, while things that are successful have a higher piracy rate. If you put out a good comic book, even if someone does download it illegally, if they enjoy it, then the likelihood of them purchasing the book is actually pretty high. Obviously, we don't want everyone giving a copy of the book to 100 of their friends, but this argument has been around since home taping was supposedly killing the music business back in the 70s, and that didn't happen, and I don't think it's happening now.
I agree. I mean, I was joking around a little bit, but I think it helps to share. Like, you know what I mean? I always debated, is it piracy if I give you my trade without you paying for it? Do you know what I mean?
By that logic, then yes, right?
Right, but I do believe that helps the industry more than it hurts it.
Yes.
Because I don't know how many people I've given, as we discussed, Sandman, who've never read a comic in their life, and I'm like, here, try this trade. You know, mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, it's really good. Now, some of them wanted to borrow them all. Some of them came in and bought comics, and, you know, then they tried Preacher or whatever and went on to buy other things. And some people who were just like the Sandman, they're like, all right, I borrowed it, I'm done. You got anything else? Well, not really. And they're like, oh, okay. And they never bought anything again. So I think, you know, like it does happen where people who were never going to buy it anyway will pirate some stuff, but people who get a taste find stuff and they want to go get it. And, you know, I don't think it kills it the way everybody says it does. But that's my opinion.
Right. I'm exactly with you in that regard. And I look forward to, you know, all the new books that are coming out from Image, all the new awesome things that they're doing.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a big boom for Image, and I can see Image getting, you know, gaining ground quickly from here on out on DC and Marvel.
So just to move on from the news here, just to talk about some of the digital stuff. Of course, Marvel always has some freebie stuff up there. And this week's freebie stuff is the first issue of Secret Invasion, that miniseries that did some things with Skrulls and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The first issue of the current ongoing Scarlet Spider series from Christopher Yost. And then Uncanny X-Men 129. This is back in the Claremont era, and I couldn't tell if this was like the beginning of a storyline. It was very unclear of exactly what the significance of this issue was.
Okay.
I don't know if that's Claremont's first issue or
I didn't read X-Men back then. Mm-hmm. And never really like got back into it. Like everybody talked about the Claremont burn run. I think I read mostly the Phoenix Saga and stuff like that. So to tell you what that was, even if I saw a cover, I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I think it's it's the first part of the Dark Phoenix Saga.
Okay.
See, because it comes up saying that it's in the Dark Phoenix Saga collection, but then the little write-up about it mentions nothing about the Dark Phoenix, so...
Yeah. Might be where she just starts showing signs.
Right. It's in the collection, so I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, some of the sales that are going on right now. Image's book Revival, which in all this Image talk we haven't gotten a chance to talk about, that's on sale until the end of the week. And American Vampire, all of it except for the prestige format issue that came out last month. The two miniseries and the full series are all up on sale, and they're up on sale for a week. So if you don't have the money right now, you got time to think about it. American Vampire is a great series. Check it out.
I've tried it. I still got to get back into that.
You got to get back into it. Yes, you do, Todd. For shame.
Yes.
So let's get into the books that we read from last week. I'm going to give it to you. Where would you like to begin?
Would you like to start with, because after the name of last week's with the guy in the title, you want to start with Red Lanterns?
Sure. Red Lanterns, number 21, the new creative team coming on, Charles Soule, who I'm enjoying his work currently on Swamp Thing, and art by Alessandro Vitti. This book essentially is Guy Gardner takes over the Red Lantern Corps.
Yes.
In the book.
That's a quick synopsis.
There's a lot of Red Lantern stuff going on. There's a lot of Green Lantern stuff going on, obviously. And the book ends with Guy taking over the Red Lantern Corps. No surprises, no shocks. It's right on the cover of the book.
Yes.
Now, the blurb on the cover of the book says, a traitor to both corps?
Yes, to and two corps.
Yes. And that's a bit of the swerve, I think, of the book. Because, you know, that was what was stooged off to me last week, that maybe he might not be a traitor to one of those two corps.
Okay. So which core do you think he's not a traitor to?
Well, you know, without getting into too spoilery heavy talk, he's undercover for Hal. You know, Hal can't know, you know, Hal is the only one who knows what he's up to. He has the full support of Hal, but the rest of the Green Lantern Corps, I'm sure, think he's a traitor.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes. So what did you think of this?
I really enjoyed this book. I thought it was cool. Like I said, I've always been a fan of Guy Gardner. I thought the art was really cool. I like the kind of like a feeling that he's given Guy Soule, the writer. I like the whole second best motif. I really like that because I feel that's where Guy has been all his life, all the way back to him, you know, appearing in, I think it was Green Lantern 59, and then, you know, he appears later on in the 170s and stuff like that, and the Justice League International stuff, he's always been in the shadow of Hal, and I just like him thinking about that, and that kind of eats at him, and I think that helped him, you know, be able to become a Red Lantern.
So, I like the book.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the art.
Really?
I don't know. There was something about maybe it was like the heavy line inking work on some of the faces and stuff.
Right.
But I really did not like the art in this book.
See, I really like the art, but go ahead.
Yeah, and that could be the thing that keeps me from continuing with this book. I liked it. I'm a big Guy fan, not as big as a Guy fan as you. I like Guy getting an opportunity to kind of be his own man, which I think he's going to get in this book.
Mm-hmm.
But the art just didn't feel for me, man. It just wasn't for me.
Okay.
Yeah, and it could definitely be a deal breaker.
Wow, I didn't see it as that bad, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It was just something about it. Like, I can't really put my finger on it. Like, I'm looking at some of the unlettered pages here, and I don't know. It's just, I don't like it. I something about it I don't like.
See, I really like the human stuff and the Oa stuff. I don't know, like the Red Lantern on, I forget what the name of the planet is. You know, it was a little wonky, but they're all like mostly aliens. But all around, I don't know. I think this is some of the best art in the couple of Green Lantern books that I've tried.
No, I'm looking. I'll tell you this: if you look at the preview stuff that's up there that I sent you in the notes. There's one of the shots of Guy when he's working on his motorcycle.
The screwdriver?
Yeah, yeah, the one above the screwdriver. Not the one of him laughing, but the little panel above that.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
Of Hal's face?
No, of Guy's face. It goes Hal's face, Guy's face, Guy laughing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one in the middle there is wretched.
Where he's giving him the stink eye?
Yeah.
See, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
We are completely off. I think that's a great shot to, like, because I actually think Guy's not doesn't want to laugh. He's laughing for the sake of laughing.
I'm completely with you on the emotion that's attempting to be conveyed there.
Right. No, I'm just setting up what I'm going to say. And I think that look is perfect. And I think I really like the way it's drawn. So, but what are you going to do? We disagree sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
Of course, you know, you're usually wrong, but that's neither here nor there.
That's correct. That's correct. So let's move on to another Lantern book.
Okay.
And that would be Lar Flees number one.
Okay.
By Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis, with art. I guess the layouts were done by Keith, with pencils by Scott okay. Collins, one of my favorite artists.
Yes, I'm looking at the credits right now. So that's why. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay, so. I had not been reading Threshold. Were you still catching up with Threshold before this book started?
Yep.
So, do I need to read those Lar Flees backups?
No. Do you want me to give you the gist of it?
Yes.
At one point, because I don't know how it works, it goes against what happened in Green Lantern, Geoff Johns' last issue. Mm-hmm. Apparently something happened to, what was Ganthet's girlfriend's name? Saeed?
Yes.
Do you remember she gave herself to be his guardian? Well, something happened and there was an orange version of her, and she ended up tricking him into thinking all his stuff was stolen, mm-hmm. including the power battery.
Yes.
But she really had him destroy it in his sleep. So all his treasure's gone, and his lantern is gone, apparently. So that's all you need to know. And he wanted his own butler. That's mm-hmm. the green guy. That's all you really need to... And like I said... It was fun. It had this feel. The book was definitely, the backups were this feel. But in the end, it made no sense because I do feel that Green Lantern contradicted everything that happened in the first couple of backups.
Right.
I think they were just like, brush it under the rug, and we're going to start fresh with them saying, oh, all his treasure is destroyed and he wants to give up. That's where we left off, and here he is.
So I thought this was, if you... didn't read those, if for some reason you picked up this book because you love Lar Flees but know nothing about him, and there's very little to know about him other than he is the Orange Lantern, I felt this was a fun book. There was a couple bits that might have been a little too graphic, I think.
Would it be them working in the field?
Yes, it would.
Yes, I thought that was a little tough for me, too. But,
that was a little rough. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was a really good book. I really like Scott Collins' art. It was a little bit different because it was over Keith's layouts, of course. It was a nice status quo, like, recap for people. New change to the status quo, mentioning what Todd had mentioned before regarding his power battery.
Mm-hmm.
And a setup for what the character's going to be doing from here on out. I enjoyed this book.
I did, too. I liked it. I liked the fact that they kind of, you know, tell us more about him, and it's that whole, like I'm comparing Lar Flees to Joker now. We're not really sure, as he's telling us about his past, what's real and what's not.
Yes.
Some of it jives with what with the little that we've learned about him through regular Green Lantern and the other books, and some of it's completely new. And I like that. I'm like, I don't care, because Lar Flees is crazy. You know, it's Keith and Jam, and as we've discussed, I kind of like their writing, you know, in the past. I do think, you know, I like Keith and Jam, but when they get together nowadays, I think they do pour it on a little too much with, like, you know, the dialogue. Like, you look at a page and you're like, wow, there's a lot going on there. But other than that, I really enjoyed this book.
Yes. I would recommend this to people. I went into this with lower expectations than most books.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's like Lar Flees, who's like, you know, fourth, you know, admittedly like a fourth to fifth tier Lantern book.
Mm-hmm.
So they really could have phoned this one in, and I don't feel that they did. And this did definitely feel like a Keith and JM book.
Right.
Which, I like Keith and JM's books.
I do, too. I do, yes. too. But I could see a difference with when Andy Helfer used to be their editor.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and look at Justice League, and they've even said in interviews, like, Andy knew what to cut. Like, he's like, this can go, and all these jokes will still work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, since he's been gone, that they don't rein themselves in. But it's still really good.
Right, but I think at this, you know, that's a, you're talking about a Keith and JM from, you know, 20-some years ago, maybe?
Right.
This is, I think, a Keith and JM that could probably write that book in their sleep. And they've been, they've had it edited, quote unquote, so many times that they probably could do it the way that their editor wanted them to do 20 some odd years ago today.
Right. I totally, I agree.
Did but you feel this was overtly verbose?
I thought there was, at times, they could have cut some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's been that way with their stuff, and that's the one thing that makes me worry about Justice League 3000, is sometimes they can go, like, I'm looking at a couple of pages here, and, like, the art is getting lost in the word balloons and the captions and stuff. But other than that, like, don't get me wrong, I love Keith and JM. I'm just, you know, just telling you one of the things about them that, you know, I just think it becomes a little daunting after a while how much they write. But I love them all the same.
Gotcha, gotcha. So one of the other books, the book I was actually most looking forward to from this past week, was Batman Superman number 1, with written by Greg Pak, with art by Jay Lee for the most part. I think the last couple pages were done by a different artist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first fateful meeting of Batman and Superman in the New 52.
Right.
I'm not sure what I thought of this book.
I'm not sure what happened.
Okay, all right. Now, many a times I have said on the show, and I'm sure Todd has echoed these sentiments about not only myself, but to himself from time to time. I don't want to paint you with this brush, but we're not the brightest guys in the world.
No, I'm with you. I'm on that. Yeah.
Okay. And there are some times where I read a book that's a Vertigo book or a Magic book or, you know, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not understand exactly what's going on. And I might need a second or third reading to figure out exactly what's going on.
Right. A head scratcher.
Right. I don't think that I should have to do that with a book starring the two biggest characters that the company has.
I agree. I don't think you should have to. I think, you know, it could be a little more, you know, complex if you wanted to go that, because you have so many Batman and, you know, you have multiple Superman to choose from. So, you know, like, if we want to go a little deeper, that's, I'm cool with that. Jay Lee's art, you know, looks awesome. But there comes a point in the book where I'm just reading it and I'm like, do either one of these people have this power? What just happened? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on here? All of a sudden, you know, am I missing something from somebody's point of view? Because, you know, they were telling the story at times from Clark's point of view and then from Bruce's and back and forth. And I'm like, something just happened. And I walked in the shop and I'm talking to Dave. And I'm like, Dave's, we're both, like, not wanting to say anything. We're like, well, what did you think about Superman Batman? I liked it till I stopped understanding it was basically the consensus that a bunch of us had reached.
Right, so. And I think, and I am a fan of understanding what I read.
Right. I am too. I think it's bad storytelling to have something completely confusing and then maybe go, oh, it'll all be explained in the second issue. Well, if you confuse me in the first, you might not get a second.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, you know, I think you gotta you need concise, you know, well-told stories, and this just didn't fall into that towards the end.
No. So the question I have for you, and everyone that I know who has read it, I've asked them, and they kind of feel the same way. Are you coming back for issue 2?
I'm going to give them one more.
Okay. Because I understand that the first arc is 3 issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I'm just going to dump it now, or if I'm going to give them the 3 issues. Like, in the back of my head, saying, I'm going to give you the 3 issues, you know?
Right.
So
I you know what's helping it on along a lot? I like Jay Lee's art.
Yes, it is a very beautiful looking book. Oh my goodness. Even the fill-in artist, while a different art style, I think is still a very good artist. But obviously anyone's art in comparison to Jay Lee's is going to be, you know, it's going to pale by comparison.
Right, he's got big shoes to fill. He does, you know, the best he can, but
yes.
And like I said, that is really what's going to keep me for the second, you know, it's definitely the second issue. I'm like, I can't just, it looks too pretty, you know, so.
Okay. But. So you've convinced me to give it at least one more issue.
Good, good. I'm glad I'm, you know, I can draw it out just a little bit.
Yes. So at least we could talk about it and make our decision on the air in a month.
Right.
Yes. So the last book that we both read was a book that I was going to put on the list, but I'm like, you know, I always like to try to keep it to three or four books. But if there's more books to talk about, then there's more books to talk about. And that is Lazarus from Greg Rucka with art by Michael Lark. And it's a really interesting concept. To me, it feels like it would have been better as like a miniseries or an original graphic novel, but it's Greg Rucka, and I have a lot of faith in him. This is a future time, an alternate timeline, where everything is run by different families, and each of the families have little people that they treat like back in medieval times as serfs. It's a very small amount of people, and then there's a much larger amount of people that are essentially referred to as the Waste, and each one of these families has someone who is essentially their hit person who can never die. And we are following around one of them in this first story arc here.
Mm-hmm. What did you think?
I liked it. Just based on the fact that it's an image book, it's an interesting premise. I like Michael Lark's art, and it looked really nice, and I like Greg Rucka's things, and it's an interesting concept, and I really want to see where everything is going with the double and triple crosses that have all been kind of established already early in the first issue.
Yes, it definitely does look beautiful. Mm-hmm. At times, and in a good way, I actually love this book. I really, really loved it. At times, the book gave me like those creepy shivers.
Oh yeah,
like where you're she goes and there's apparently a traitor at the camp. I don't want to say too much, but the conversation she has with the guy, and they're talking back and forth about family and whether or not whether or not something like this is going to hurt. And I'm like, this is just so well put together,
uh-huh.
And like her where she stands, the main character, with her what she's feeling for what she has to do for the family. I'm like, there are so many good things going on in this book that I want all the possibilities now. That's how good it is. And I can't say how much I love this book, and I'm in for the definitely long haul.
Yes. So it sounds like you like this quite a bit more than I did, but mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. I really like this a lot.
Okay. Yes. I definitely loved it. Gonna keep going with it then?
Yes, definitely. Yes. And the fact that it's the different families and we're dealing with just one person right now, I could see us bouncing around to the different families to, get the stories of their one hit person, if you will.
Right, they're Lazarus.
Right, they're Lazarus, if you will. So that's gonna make, I think, for interesting storytelling as well, to see parallels, how the different families are handling things, how the different Lazaruses. Handle their world, if you will. And, I think there's a lot of opportunity here.
Heck, I'd like some stories from, the Waste. You know what I mean? The serfs. You can do, like I said, I see so much potential here.
Right.
So. But, you want anything else?
No, there was one more book that you wanted to mention.
Right. I know if you meant on Lazarus is what I meant.
No, I think we covered everything we can on Lazarus.
And I wanted to talk about Dynamite's Uncanny by Andy Diggle.
Yes.
And Aaron Campbell. I actually picked this up because I felt, not felt bad for him, but I was pumped for Action Comics. His run on Action Comics. And when that got yanked out from under him and they were talking about Uncanny, I was like, you know what, I'm really going to give this a try because I'm going to take that, that feeling that I was wanted to read Action to Uncanny. And I have to say, I really enjoyed this. This is basically about a guy who's living in some other country right now, and he starts out in a poker game, and he's like, this is everything or nothing. What I have to do, and you find out that he may have some powers that for some reason screw up and don't give him what he needs, and everything goes to heck, and he's on the run, and somebody comes and says like, well, we can use you. If you help us, we'll get you out of here. And it's one of those books that it follows like that formula, guy gets in over his head, somebody swoops in, saves him, and says, you're going to work for us. But I think it's really well done, and I enjoyed it a lot.
But So this is, okay, yes, Andy Deagle, art by Aaron Campbell. So you like, now I recently learned this, I thought this was an original, creator-owned sort of thing, but I guess this is just a property that Dynamite owns.
Oh, okay, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read, I don't know if there was anything in the back. I'm looking now. I don't see anything. It was just a story. I thought actually Andy Diggle owned it, created it, so I don't know.
Somebody on another podcast that I listened to pointed out that in a little bit of a snafu at the back of the book there, where it says next issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, do you have the issue there in front of you?
Yeah, I'm holding it right now.
Check to see what it has about next issue.
It just says to be continued.
No. Oh. In the back pages and like their little like masthead stuff at the end.
Right. Do you want me to read it out loud?
No.
Okay.
Isn't there like where it says like next issue and it's a picture of Battlestar Galactica 3?
No.
then it might be the digital version that has that little.
It says
snappy.
Next issue, Uncanny Seasons of the Hungry Ghost Part 2, Issue 2, Weaver's Uncanny Ability. You know what I mean?
It must be the digital version then that has that.
If it would have made sense, because if it would have been Battlestar Galactica, I would have instantly said it. But I'm like, I don't know what he wants me to do with this.
No, it's okay. These things don't get planned out in advance. No, another podcast, which is like, that's very bad, putting your digital stuff, that's bad putting your books together when you can't even get that right. But Dynamite's had a lot of good stuff lately. I heard you were hunting and pecking Red Sonja issues, so you're good to go.
Right, yeah, that's not the Gail Simone ones yet.
No. Well, believe me, when those come up, we'll be talking about them.
Really? You think we'll both try those?
Yeah, I definitely think so.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, listeners.
So Uncanny was good, eh?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a good crime/superpower thing going on, and I want to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if there's any more at the shop, I might grab it today.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I'm almost all cut up on my books.
Oh.
There's only two left.
There's only two books?
Yes.
What could they be?
They were haunting me today.
Mm.
I was going to take a picture and tweet it out and say the last two books in my stack are haunting me.
So you don't have the time to read those?
No, I I'm a prisoner of time.
Oh, who could help you? Maybe a doctor.
No, I had it open. I was ready to go, but we were like, we hit a busy spot at work. Like the last 2 days at the super secret science job, I'm like, I got tons of time. I can get caught up on all my books. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I could see you at your super science job. It's like, all I have left is these two prisoners' time books, and there's nothing going on at work. I can read them. I could just see you like pulling like the switches at work, so all the power goes out. It's like, oh, I can't read them right now. Darn it!
No, they will be read. They will be read. I promise.
I swear, I'm letting you out after issue 11. I'm not even going to let you have the pleasure of reading 12.
You're going to force me to want to buy it.
Yes, you'll be like, I have to do this on my own.
Oh, goodness. So I know Doctor Who is what you're most looking forward to on a daily basis, but what is the book that you're most looking forward to coming out this week, Todd?
It's actually funny because I don't have that big of a week. I think I only have like 8 books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been loving that book and the art on the book and soul, storytelling. So because it's everything that I normally read and there's nothing really new, I'm going with that.
So, yes, and I, when we both lamented on how big our weeks were last week,
mm-hmm.
A buddy of mine was like, yeah, I had a big week this past week, too. I had 6 books.
Oh,
and I wanted
6
to- I want to kick him in the face.
6 whole books?
6 whole books. He's like, how many did you have? I'm like, 18.
I have 20.
Right. So, yeah, it's a bunch of, it's a bunch of, good-sized book, weeks for the next, 5 weeks. It's, 8 to 11 books every week. Like, nothing's spread out. There's no, huge week and then a tiny week,
Right. I'll let you know for me, because I don't know from week to week.
Yes. So, Swamp Thing number 22 is Todd's book, the book I'm most looking forward to, and just looking at the next couple weeks, this is not going to be a trend on purpose, but it certainly may end up that way, but that's quite all right. It is a new number one from Image, and it is a book called Satellite Sam by Matt Fraction and Howard Chaykin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read to you what the pitch of this is, if you don't know what it's about, whether it be Todd or our listeners out there. New York City, 1951, star of a daily beloved TV serial, Satellite Sam, turns up dead in his flophouse filled with dirty secrets. The police think it was death by natural causes, but his son knows there was something more.
Ooh.
And it's a crime noir mystery. You know, with the filter of the golden age of television in the 50s, but then all sorts of death and sex and grittiness and grime. And, hey, Matt Fraction, I hear, writes good comic books. Now, we didn't talk about Hawkeye number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I don't think there's really much that we could say about Hawkeye number 11.
Right.
Like, it was a good book. It was a very good book. Every issue of Hawkeye is very good. It's not a book I could recommend. It's like, hey, if you want to try Hawkeye, pick this one up first.
And I know I'm going to get it. Like, I liked it.
Right.
But like you said, it's a quick read.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, just pictures and symbols and stuff and how the dog sees the world. I look at it and I'm like, this is good, but not as good as everybody seems to be making it out to be. I thought it was an interesting take on the book. But like you said, it's a tough sell to somebody who's new, and not a lot of interesting goes on. You know what I mean? Like, it's the dog's life and it's fun, but not as great as everybody seems to be making it out.
Right. It's a really good book, but it's not the end-all, be-all of comics.
Right. There you go. And for your, what book is that, Satellite Sam?
Yes.
Howard Chaykin drew it, so I'm going to bet you $1 that there is a lot of lace underwear and stockings.
I that's okay.
I'm just saying, that's, like, I haven't read, that's his thing. You read anything, and that's, like, how he draws that somewhere in any book.
So. It's as though it's a thing that he likes.
Yes, you let me know.
So the other thing that I wanted to mention, it's not so much what I'm looking forward to this week, because I'll be getting the print version of this, but Wednesday, today, as you're listening to this, is the first chapter of the Batman 66 digital book.
Ooh.
They're going to do the three issues, and I think the third installment of it is going to be, the third digital installment is going to come out the same day and date as the print copy of the first three collected.
Which is a good way to do it.
Yes, and that seems, this is the start of DC doing that with all of their new DC digital stuff. They've been doing a huge thing, and again, I mentioned before USA Today, they've been doing a story every day in USA Today about this book.
People love Batman 66, so I
yes,
understand
they do.
Why.
So if you're a digital person, check it out today. If you're not a digital person and you're going to wait for the print version, you just got to wait about 2 to 3 weeks and you'll be good to go.
I think a lot of people will be picking that up.
It's on my pull list for print. I can't wait. I'm excited.
I saw your list yesterday. I was watching Matt pull it early because he's going on vacation.
Oh, well. He needs a vacation from what he does.
Yes. He, don't worry, I helped him out.
Oh boy. Oh man. So if you want to see this this witty repartee on a daily basis, you can follow Todd and I on Twitter. You can follow Todd at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. And I am L-F Chikarison. That's L-F Chikarason. You can also email me there. It's lfchikarason@ymail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Weekly Longbox. And you can also follow that for the latest and greatest in news and everything going on in the world of comics. And that is the place where everything is cultivated for our weekly Twitter question. And our Twitter question this week was, the most patriotic hero in all of comics.
Yes.
Or a patriotic person. Didn't necessarily need to be a hero.
Character.
Because we had some questionable ones. Questionable, at least in my ideas here. Michael Hanskar, a longtime listener, mentioned the comedian from Watchmen. And there's an argument to be made there. I think he was a patriot of a certain specific time in our great United States.
Yes, he's a very interesting lover of our country.
Yes, Todd Ingram on Twitter, ToddIngram3, mentioned Nuke, the red, white, and blue crazed villain from the Daredevil series.
Wait a minute, Daredevil series?
Yes.
I don't remember Nuke in Daredevil.
And I think that might be, he might have been one of the digital-only exclusives that you didn't get.
An Earth 2 Daredevil?
Yes, Earth 2 Daredevil. Mark Goetzinger, another longtime listener, mentioned Dracula, and I guess that's a good one.
He does love that he takes a little bit of his Earth from Transylvania everywhere he goes.
That is true.
So,
but I don't know if he's a patriot, that he fights for the rights of all Romanians.
He wants to turn everybody into a vampire from Transylvania, so I guess that works. He wants to indoctrinate them.
Our good buddy DJ mentioned Batroc the Leaper.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's so much as patriotic, it's just more so like he's the only French person there is in comics.
Yes.
He was actually on Ultimate Spider-Man this past weekend.
Was he leaping?
Yes, he was. It was a fun little scene at the beginning with him.
Okay.
Canada got some love. Will Kinshalia mentioned Captain Canuck. And Mr. Senior, who always used to contribute stuff to Sketch Party, which is still on hiatus until we think of a new name. He had mentioned the Guardian of Alpha Flight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people mentioned, you know, the big two, if you will. Superman got a lot of mentions, and Captain America got a lot of mentions.
Right.
So who was the person that you picked as your most patriotic person in all comics?
Because I haven't picked him as a character in one of our questions in a while.
Yes.
I'm going with Victor Von Doom.
Yes.
Say what you want about the man. Mm-hmm. He loves Latveria.
He certainly does. And that's why I didn't want to put him in one of the also-rans, because we had a couple people mention Dr. Doom, and that's a great choice. I think Dr. Doom is a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
My choice that I went with is Superman. Superman, you know, truth, justice in the American way.
See, I don't know how... Go ahead.
He's not from the United States, but he certainly fights for it just as hard as any other character in all of comics.
He's the ultimate immigrant.
He certainly is.
But my question is to you, how could you say an ultimate patriot when he gives up his citizenship in Action 900? Don't you remember people were going crazy?
That's pre-52, by the way.
Oh, yes. New 52, he's American again. Yep,
that's
cool.
That's right. That's right. But the winner from our listeners, and I was surprised by this. A lot of people mentioned this. Kevin Hellions on Twitter. Team Hellions is his Twitter handle. Noel Margate, Vegas Margate on Twitter. Quinn the Eskimo, which is a great name. And again, this is one of the times when your name is actually better than your Twitter handle. His Twitter handle is Trails End Wild. Mm-hmm. But Quinn the Eskimo is just an awesome name. Them, among others, picked Black Panther as the most patriotic person in all of comics.
He does love Wakanda.
He certainly does love Wakanda, and that's someone I didn't even think of. You don't. When you think of patriotism, you don't think of Black Panther right off the top of your head. You know, he needs to have a red, white, and blue outfit.
Right, but it makes total sense.
Yes, it does. So I do thank everyone for contributing to our Twitter question this week. And Todd, what is our Twitter question for next week?
Well, since it's been, you know, June is over, and that's exactly 6 months in the year, what was your favorite comic for the first half of 2013?
Yes, and this would have to be something that was released in the first half of 2013. If you just discovered... you know, the Claremont Burn X-Men in April. That doesn't count.
Right.
So whether it be a graphic novel, whether it be a collection, whether it be something that's just released digitally, whether it be something that just came out this past month and the first issue blew you away so much it's your favorite book of the first half of 2013.
Right.
Let us know what that is. Throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ on there. We'll compile them all up and talk about them here next week.
Yes, we will.
So was there anything else you wanted to mention before we put a bow on this, as I want to say?
No, you can bow away.
So for Todd, this is Leonard. I do thank everyone for listening. This is episode 85 of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.